the Antiwhite system and tune in to the Pro-White system at RadioArian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 1st of October, 2019, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioArian.com. Where has the year gone? It's flown past this year. It's been a really good year so far, I think, particularly the Patriotic Alternative Conference, and we've got 3 months left to go. Hopefully, we're going to have Brexit at the end of this month. I guess it's a 4 week countdown now until we leave the EU. But thankfully, I'm not going to be talking about Brexit today. The first news story that I've got here comes from Africa. 19 pregnant women and 4 children have been rescued from a suspected baby factory in Nigeria. Now, what could a baby factory be? I don't think they're going to be using IVF and high technology to produce infants in Nigeria. And guess what? I'm correct. Police in Lagos, Nigeria's largest city, raided 4 properties on Monday and discovered the women, aged between 15 and 28, along with the infants, one of whom was just a day old, according to local reports. Officers also arrested Happiness Ukwoma, aged 40, and Sherifat Ipia, 54, who are thought to have worked as untrained nurses at the factory. And if you take a look at those so-called nurses, one of them doesn't look like a female at all. And just what does a trained nurse mean in the third world, in Africa, where you can just buy degrees? They buy their way into the universities and then they expect to be given a degree at the end of it, and they purchase a degree. Even when you go to the universities there and you check the IQ, the highest IQ there is about 85. Because the average IQ is 75, you get much more intelligent people at the universities, but it's still only 85. How can you have somebody with an IQ of 85 being compared to the same standards as a white man with an IQ of 120 that's gone through a university? But we're not going to be really talking about that today. It's more about this baby factory and just what it was for. I mean, it's not like they've got difficulties with producing Negroes. They are expanding at an exponential rate. I mean, we're going to be swamped with them within 40 years. There isn't going to be enough white people to provide everything for them. And they don't provide anything for themselves. They live off aid that's sent there from the first world, particularly t-shirts and secondhand clothing. I mean, E. Michael Jones has pointed this out, that there is no industry over there in Africa. The only industry there is selling on secondhand clothes. They get these huge bundles of clothes that have been sent over there by do-gooder white people in the West, and they just sell them to one another. They've got no way of actually growing cotton and processing the cotton and making it into their own clothes and coming up with a manufacturing industry. They're just not capable of it. What they were always capable of in the past is producing more Negroes, which is why slavery was the main produce that Africa came up with. The whole economy was based upon slavery, and now they don't have that anymore. It's all just based on handouts from the West. And I don't understand why they would need a baby factory, because I think in Nigeria they have about 8 children per woman. They are incredibly fecund. Getting back to this article, however, police are still searching for the main suspect, a woman they identified as Madam Alucci, a mother of 5. Investigators say the children were going to be trafficked and sold for £1,000 for a boy and £700 for a girl. Was that for people to adopt? Was that for people to take into slavery? Is there a shortage? I don't understand. Is there a shortage of Negroes that they need to have a factory that produces more of them? And you hear of these crazy white people that go over to Africa in order to adopt one of these Negro infants so that they can parade them around in the West for brownie points. But it's not like they're difficult to get hold of from these adoption agencies. I don't really understand this. I mean, could it be pedophilia that's involved? Were they selling these Negro infants to sick perverts? Now, I'm not sure these sick perverts want to go for Negro infants. I mean, it's usually white people that you hear of that are being abused by these non-whites. It's normally white children that they go for. Apparently, a majority of the women were tricked into leaving their home villages with promises of domestic work in Lagos before being forced into pregnancy, police said. Well, it doesn't look like they're actually chained to anything. I mean, the way you read this, you imagine that they're just sort of chained up somewhere, like dogs on a leash, expecting to give birth. And as soon as they've given birth, there'll be another Negro buck that's been put in there in order to impregnate them. But no, they're just sitting around in this house. Apparently, men then took it in turns to rape and impregnate the women. Officers added. Did they? Then why didn't they go out and report that they had been raped? Again, in Africa, there is no difference between the word rape and consensual sex. It's just the same word. The idea of rape didn't occur to them until the white man went over there and said, well, this is actually wrong, you know, what's going on here. I mean, their females offer sex as a form of currency. There's a big feminist advocacy group that were trying to get the women of the Congo to learn how to do other things, because the way that they, I think it was the Congo, the way that they earned their money, they basically had sex with the fishermen, and the fishermen would pay them in fish, and then they would take the fish to the market and they would sell the fish. And that was just the custom. And that had gone on for millennia, basically. These women, that was just what they did. They had sex with all the fishermen. And these feminists have interfered and tried to get them to learn how to do other things. Sex is not looked upon in the same way in Africa and among the Negroes as it is among whites. They have totally different mating rituals. In actual fact, they have totally different genitalia. Well, obviously they have the same main parts, but they are built at a completely different angle to the angle that Caucasian genitals are created and at. Caucasian genitalia will fit together, but Caucasian and Negro genitals will not fit together because they're positioned at a different angle. So anybody that is sleeping with one knows that what they are doing is wrong. They must know that what they are doing is wrong because it's not a perfect fit. And that's before you get into the hideous genitalia of the Hottentot Venus, which people can look up online under Google Images. There were anatomical drawings created of this creature that was brought back from Africa, a representative of the Hottentot tribe. And she had this, I think it was a 6-inch long labial tube, they called it, this tube that was flapping around between her legs. And if you look back at the 18th and 19th century books that were written on race by the Americans and by the slave traders, they said that all of them were like this, But once they bred with white people, the offspring, this elongated labia, had disappeared from the offspring. But it's obviously still there. It's obviously still there in their genome. Could come out at any time, really, with the offspring and the mongrelization that goes on between them. So why would people be wanting to lock these women up and have sex with them when it's so easy to get sex there in Africa anyway, and it's so easy to create more Negroes? And it's not like they have a problem with getting slaves either. And what they're saying here, it's £1,000 for a boy, £700 for a girl. I believe it's just $200 to buy yourself a black slave in the Libyan slave markets. So just what is going on here? A few of the women joined the syndicate voluntarily, believing they would be paid, but told police they had not been given any money, The Guardian Nigeria reported. So what have they been told? Have they been told that they were going to be surrogate wombs? And you also have this issue of surrogate wombs in the third world, where these women will take money to be implanted with a white woman's egg and a white man's sperm, or just a white man's sperm, so that they can, and they'll produce a mixed race child, which they will then sell. But it doesn't say that these are surrogate mothers at all. It does say it's a baby factory. And again, that implies that it's producing a product. These Negro infants that were being produced were a product. Officers were alerted to the presence of the factory on September the 19th after receiving a tip-off from neighbours about a lot of pregnant women in their street. So it wasn't the women themselves that went to the police and said, this is not going on, we are being kept here against our will. I don't think they were being kept there against their will. One of the rescued women told the Vanguard newspaper that she borrowed money to travel from her home village to Lagos on the promise of housework. When she arrived at the city's bus stop, her phone was taken from her and she was brought to the factory, where she was told she would remain for up to a year. And this is a common thing that happens in Africa. They offer to employ people or employ these women, and when they actually get to where they're going, they're turned into a slave. And this used to happen with white women as well. If you look back at the National Socialist literature that was written about 1930, 1940, they talk about the white slave trade, and particularly in the east of Europe, where you would, and it would normally be Jews that were doing this, and they would tell these women that they had work for them in South America, and they would encourage these women, sometimes they would entrap them romantically and pretend that they were going to get married, and they would take them to South America, where they would then be used as prostitutes. And of course, we do hear the same still going on today in Tel Aviv, where they have legalized brothels, and apparently these brothels are filled with East European white women. And there's quite a scandal there. And again, that has been exposed by the mainstream media, but then very quickly silenced, this trade in women to use as prostitutes. But it's always happened in Africa. And it's the same thing that's going on here, where they're encouraging these women to move to Lagos. You'll be able to get housework. And in actual fact, they're actually used as prostitutes. I think that's what this place is. I think this is probably a brothel. And they've probably hit on the fact that if these females get pregnant, then they could actually sell their infants and make a profit from that as well. I think that's what's been going on here. The woman said that at first she was used as a prostitute and slept with customers each night before falling pregnant. So there we go. That's what's going on here. It's a brothel, and they've just decided that they can make even more money if they allow their prostitutes to get pregnant and then sell the infants. But it still doesn't answer what these infants are being sold for. I mean, they could be being sold for body parts. They could be being sold for juju magic. That's what the Africans do with albino Africans. They have to be hidden from them in secure areas, because if they get seen by the other Negroes, they will chop parts off of them to then be put in magic potions. they believe that the albino is a cure for just about everything. I mean, how can we bring these people over into Europe and into Britain as doctors when the only medicine they came up with was eating one another? The woman said she was then moved to a different building and told that if she carried the baby to term, she would be paid handsomely and allowed to leave. So she claimed she was being held there against her will. But again, there's no mention of them being chained up. Police said the women are now undergoing rehabilitation so they can be resettled in the city, and the investigation is ongoing. Baby factories are not uncommon in Nigeria. Last week, a one-week-old baby was saved from an illegal trade syndicate in Lagos, while another huge raid last year rescued 160 children. Again, nothing about what was happening with these children. What was this trade? Why do they need to have factories to produce babies when that is the one thing that Nigeria does not have a problem producing? In actual fact, they have a surplus of Negro infants. In some parts of Africa, I think 50% of the population is under the age of 30 because there's been this unnatural increase in them where we have largely eliminated all the natural things that would actually keep their population manageable. They no longer die from diseases and outbreaks of things like Ebola and mosquito bites and all these horrible diseases they have over there in Africa. Because of the white man's medicine, we've managed to get rid of a lot of it. And the other thing that would limit their growth and expansion was food supply. And they've always got by before just on grazing. They would travel around and they would just eat whatever they could find. So that would limit the amount of Negroes there were. Now we send all this food aid over there and we say, oh, terrible, look at these poor starving Negroes. We better send a lot of charity over there. They will just keep reproducing and eating up the charity. This is why I say within 40 years, the rest of the world will not be able to produce enough resources just to keep the Negroes going. They really don't produce anything of value. This is what the UN really needs to be talking about, is this massive expansion in pretty much worthless humans. I mean, there is that phrase, useless eaters, but it is very accurate for the majority of Africa. I'm not trying to be rude about them here, but if you imagine if you had an entire race of mentally retarded people, then that would be close to it. Don't forget that a white man of 65 is mentally retarded, and yet you have parts of Africa where the average IQ is 65. And yes, they are able to get by, and no, they don't appear on the outside to be mentally retarded because they are sociable, but that's because that's how they're meant to be. That's how they were created, is to have that low IQ. So, and obviously enough of them could live trying to find water and trying to find food from grazing. They managed to keep going, but they were never a huge burden upon the rest of the world, which is what they are now. And they're just overflowing from Africa. We've got a huge surplus there. And normally nature would have a cull through something like Ebola or something like famine. And with our interfering, we have prevented that from taking place. And masses of our resources are being sucked into that country. And all they can think of producing is more of them. It's so bizarre that they have a factory to produce something that they already have a massive surplus of. Incredible. I want to talk about another African in the next news story that I've got here, and that is Gina Miller, this Negress who has interfered with the Brexit process twice now. The first time she interfered, she had got, I think it was a judicial review, to force the government to put the Brexit legislation before the opposition and to force the government to get the agreement of all the opposition on the deal that they did with the EU, which is, of course, one of the main reasons why leaving the EU has been held up, is because the opposition won't allow any deal to go through unless it's been modified so that we don't really leave the EU at all. And this second time that she's interfered is the recent Supreme Court hearing where Boris Johnson was found to have made an unlawful decision because the Supreme Court changed the law. Basically, they evolved the law. And as we said in Air in Britannia, that would have meant that every single one of the prorogations of Parliament of the last century would also have been unlawful. So she's basically interfering with the democratic will of 17.4 million people. And obviously she's getting a lot of criticism for that. And she's refusing to accept the fact that this criticism is down to her actions. I mean, who the hell does she think she is? She's not even British. She's not even white, let alone British. And here she is holding up the democratic process in Great Britain. Gina Miller, who receives death threats because of her involvement in the recent Supreme Court judgment, will blame Boris Johnson if anyone is hurt or killed. I think she's been getting death threats for a lot longer than since this recent Supreme Court judgment, but I doubt whether any of them are serious. I bet it's more like people saying, you're lucky you haven't had this happen to you after what you've done. I mean, basically, if people are receiving death threats, then that is a measure of the anger that the general public are feeling at the actions of the person that the so-called death threats are aimed at. I mean, it used to be such a common thing that people would say in the pub, all those politicians should be lined up against the wall and shot, or all those politicians will be swinging from the lamppost one day. And it was never meant serious. It was never meant as a credible threat. It was just a measure of the anger that people felt at the treason that people can see going on amongst the politicians. And this was and things like that would be said long before Brexit. But of course, it's now taken seriously because Joe Cox was murdered by someone. But the person that murdered Joe Cox, he never sent death threats. He never sent death threats. He never sent tweets. And all these things that get blamed for this increase in death threats, they had nothing whatsoever to do with the guy that killed Joe Cox. Gina Miller has told Matt Frey, Leavers and Remainers don't live in a different country. We live in the same country. Well, I would say that London is very different from the rest of the country. London is flooded with foreigners, and any sensible white person has long left that hellhole. And obviously the rest of the country, England and Wales in particular, are all voraciously wanting to leave the EU, and all voted overwhelmingly to leave. It was just the Londoners that didn't want to, because London is 60% non-white, 65% non-white, something like that. She says, we have to think about what the long-term consequences of the language and the actions and the whipping of sentiment that's happening. They always like to use that word, don't they? Whipping up hate. Whipping up hate and also spewing hate and espousing anti-Semitism, as if you're married to anti-Semitism. The long-term consequences, she says, I truly believe are that we, for decades to come, will be a very intolerant country and people will live in fear. People are already living in fear because of the multiculturalism that's been imported into the country. Britain never used to have stabbings, it never used to have acid attacks, machete attacks, people being beheaded, gangs of Muslims roaming the streets, grooming children, raping them, passing them around, their brothers, their uncles, their whole community. None of this used to be happening in Britain. It's the white British people that are living in fear. They're the ones that are fleeing the cities. We even have a term for it, white flight. It's white people that are living in fear because of the multiculturalism, because of the people that look like her. She added, I fear what will happen to our country. I fear the country my children will live in. Her children, she tells Matt, were recently called mongrels because her husband is Jewish and she is an ethnic minority. Well, okay, that maybe that's a bit of a vulgar term to use, but what is she saying? She's just explained that her husband is Jewish and that she is black. So the children are obviously mixed race, to put it another way. It's a perfectly valid term to use, to call them mongrels. If you look up what the dictionary definition of a mongrel is, it says, number one, an individual resulting from the interbreeding of diverse breeds or strains, especially one of unknown ancestry, which is obviously most mixed race people. I mean, this Gina Miller, she probably doesn't know what her ancestry is. It's black, basically. So you don't know what was in her ancestry from 200 years back. And she's married to a Jew. So the children are mishlings, black mishlings, basically, of unknown ancestry. The second definition, a cross between types of persons or things. So both of those definitions would apply to her children. They are individuals resulting from the interbreeding of diverse breeds, and they are also a cross between types of persons or things. And you could say, well, it's only talking about animals. So let's look at what the definition of breed is. First definition says a group of usually domesticated animals or plants, presumably related by descent from common ancestors, and visibly similar in most characters, such as exotic breeds of cats, retrievers, and other popular dog breeds. Okay, well, that's exclusively animal. But the second definition of breed isn't. The second definition of breed is a number of persons of the same stock. So she thinks it's so dreadful that her children are being called mongrels, but that's exactly what they are. That is exactly what they are, and that is exactly what they would have been called in common parlance 50 years ago. It's only political correctness that prevents people from using terms like that today. And after that, they were referred to as half-castes, and now they're referred to as mixed race, or people of colour, as they prefer to call them. She then said, Britain is better than the politicians are making us into. Well, she's part of the side that is degrading politics by interfering and taking away the power from the government from being able to make us leave the EU. And she's become a bit of a figurehead for the anti-democratic forces of the Remainers. She told Matt Frey, if anything happens to anybody, not just the MPs or anybody, if anybody is killed or hurt or beat up because of this, I hold Boris Johnson responsible. How can she hold the Prime Minister responsible for other people's actions? I mean, people are angry at Gina Miller because of her actions and because of what she has done, not because they're all brainwashed and hypnotized by Boris Johnson and he's given them a signal to start criticizing her. And this idea that what the opposite politician says is responsible for people criticizing the others is nonsense. People criticize politicians because of what they say. The left are attacking Boris Johnson. But I don't hear him saying, well, I fear for my life. I'm getting death threats because you're criticising me. And all Boris Johnson has done is call the Hilary Benn Act, which is the Act of Parliament that tries to prevent Britain from leaving without a deal. He's called it a surrender deal, a surrender act. That's hardly encouraging people to send death threats to Gina Miller, is it? Matt Frey then asked what she would say to Boris Johnson. Miller responded, he has to learn the word sorry very quickly. He has to temper his language and he has to start being honest with everyone. I think he is being honest. And what has he got to say sorry for? I'd like to see Gina Miller saying sorry. for hijacking our democracy, for dragging the name of Britain through the mud, for hijacking the British country and assuming that it's hers just because she was born here. Just because a dog is born in a barn, it doesn't make it a horse. It doesn't mean that barn belongs to that dog. That barn belongs to the person that built the barn. Gina Miller and her ancestors never built anything in Britain. About as much as they were capable of building is a mud hut out in the wilds of Africa. And that's all they will ever be capable of building. It's a complete waste of time and resources. All this investment and all this food aid and medical aid and all this stuff that we send over to Africa, we're just making a rod for our own backs. We're just making it worse in the future. The solution to the problems over there in Africa would be to say, well, we'll give you this food aid in exchange for sterilization. But of course, then we'd be accused of eugenics. I mean, what a terrible thing that is, trying to improve the race and prevent there being genetic deformities and trying to improve life for everyone. I mean, life would be better for the Negroes in Africa if there was less of them. If there was less of them, they wouldn't feel the need to be flooding into Britain, would they? I think that would be best all round, would be to start offering sterilization in exchange for food aid over there. But of course, that's far too sensible a solution for our elites to come up with, of course. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Carolyn Jaeger. God bless and hail victory.
You're tuned in to Radio Aryan.